Turn to Exodus chapter 33, if you would, please. Exodus 33. And the title of the message is, I'll Go With You. Exodus chapter 33. At this point in the book of Exodus, the people have been out of Egypt maybe 3 months, or somewhere between 3 months and a year. The law has been given, so it's been a few months since they departed Egypt. They're in the wilderness. But the tabernacle isn't set up until the first beginning of the second year, and the tabernacle has not been yet set up. Moses has just gotten the law from God. They haven't even begun to construct the tabernacle and so forth. So somewhere between 3 months and a year is where this takes place, in the first year of their deliverance from Egypt. And let's begin reading in verse 1 here of chapter 33. The Lord said unto Moses, Depart ye, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto a land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up into the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So it's time for them to get moving, to take the inheritance that God has prepared for them, that land that he's going to give them. Of course, before this takes place, the 12 tribes go, and 10 of them rebel and don't want to go, and it ends up into a 40-year delay of them getting into that inheritance. But God initiates them moving at this point. I want you to go. And notice he says, the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt. God said to Moses, the people you brought. Because God's fed up with them right now. He's pretty upset. In fact, look at again at verse 2. I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, Hittite, and Perizzite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. God says, go on, Moses, but I'm not going with you. Because if I go, I'll kill them. So I'm not going. God's fed up. Why is God fed up? Let's go back to chapter 32. Chapter 32. In chapter 32, Aaron led the people in idol worship. Let's read the first, we'll read through most of this chapter, but start in verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, so he's up in the mountain, he's getting the instructions from God, and God's carving those tablets, that the commandments are written on both sides, those tablets of stone. And he's up there a while. And what's he doing up there? Why doesn't he come back? And they delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has come of him. We don't know what's going on. He's up there just lollygagging around with God up on the mountain. Why is he not down here? And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They haven't even been out a year. And after all that God has done for them, the plagues that delivered them from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea as God parted it before them so they could walk through on dry ground, with the armies of Israel pressing down upon them, and then God completely destroyed the threat. The entire army of Egypt, was destroyed, and God delivered them. And just a few months later, they're turning their back on that God because Moses is a little bit long returning and making these golden images. Verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This is why God's upset. And Moses is pleading with God on their behalf while they're doing all this stuff. Look at verse 7. The Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for the people which thou broughtest, the people you brought, Moses, out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. And they have made them a gold molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'm going to wipe them out. After all I've done for them, this is what they do. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'll start all over again with you, Moses. It's quite an opportunity. There's probably later in Moses' life, he wished he'd taken God up on that. But not at the moment. And he says, where'd I leave off? Thank you. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land? You say, God, you brought them, I'm just doing what you told me to do, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. God, stop. Don't. Turn from your plan. Just think about how the Egyptians are going to respond to this after you wiped out their army for this people. Drop down to verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of testimony were in his hand, and the tables written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other, were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, so Joshua was with Moses up in the mountain. Everybody else, the entire camp of Israel, is down there except for these two guys. Joshua went halfway up the mountain and stayed there by himself while Moses went the rest of the way to be with God. But now they're returning, and as they're making their way back down the mountain, what's that noise I hear? What's going on? When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Sounds like there's a war going on down there. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And so that was the first worship team in modern contemporary Christian music, the sound of the noise of war in the camp. Verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them before, beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. See, I think already Moses is regretting his decision. I should have let you have it, God, because I'm mad now. And he made him drink that mess as he loses it momentarily here. Verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? How could you do this, Aaron? What were you thinking? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. You know how they are, Moses. You've dealt with this before. For they said unto me. Now, wait a minute. Was that how that worked? Aaron directed this whole thing. Now he's passing the buck. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it in the fire, and shazam, there came out this calf. Just like that. It's a Christmas miracle. He's kind of embellishing the story a little bit, isn't he? And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? And then, so he dispenses with them at this point. Drop down to verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I will make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. And yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out. He says, God, please forgive them. But if you can't do it, take me too. I'm done. If you won't forget that, forgive them, don't start over with me. Kill me too. I pray thee out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. He interceded for them. Obviously, God spared them. But God's patience is at an end. So that brings us again now to chapter 33. God says, I'm not going with them. I'll kill them all if I go. So pick it up in verse 4 of chapter 33. When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. Boy, we did it this time. God's not talking to us right now. He's separating himself from us. And it says, no man did put, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. How many of you guys wearing ornaments this morning? For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I'll come up unto the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off the ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. God says, get rid of all the adornments, all the things, you know, just strip yourself bare before me. And give me a minute, and I'll decide what I'm going to do. Right now, What I want to do is kill you. So I'm just going to step back. Verse 6, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb, and Moses took the tabernacle. Now this is not the tabernacle instructed to be built when he gave them the law, because they haven't done that yet. What is it? I'm not, maybe it's Moses' tent, I don't know. But it was some temporary thing that they'd had, but they take this tabernacle and set it outside of the camp. He says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp. This place that was their temporary meeting place with God is moved distant from them, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Apparently it was within the camp up until this point. Now it's been moved because God's needing a minute. God needs to distance himself from them before he wipes them all out. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out under the tabernacle that all the people rose up. So it was set there, and anybody that wanted it could still approach to God, but they had to come outside of the camp to where the tabernacle was if they wanted to approach God. And not too many are doing that, it doesn't appear. But Moses goes. Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door. Oh, Moses is going out there. You know what's going to happen? And looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. They're watching this whole thing as he's making his way out there. It came to pass, verse 9, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar and stand at the door of the tabernacle, at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. So he goes out there and he steps in, and suddenly this cloud descends and hides him from their view. And I think it's also as kind of a veil between God and Moses, because no man can look upon God and live. But he's talking to him face to face. But you got this cloudy pillar that they see descend upon them thing. And they're all standing in their tent doors and they're watching what's going to happen. We know Moses is mad and we know God's mad. What's going to happen if these two get together and come against us? And they're in there and they're talking, and then they worship in their tent door, not even daring to leave the entrance to their tents as they watched them go in there. None of them dare venture forth. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. It's funny that he didn't mention Joshua with him until just here. And when Moses returns back to the camp, Joshua stayed behind with God. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, that thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in thy sight. So he's had that little chat, and now he tells us what the nature of that conversation as he was in the tabernacle was. He says, God, you told me to go up. And you said, you're not going with me, but look, I got to know who's going, because I can't do this alone. This is more than I can handle. I've got to have somebody along me with me to help. Who are you going to send, Lord? Who's it going to be? And you know me by my name. And you said you found grace, I found grace in your sight. So who's going with me? Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. God, they belong to you. They're not mine. I'm just doing this for you. And I need to know who's going to be with me in this thing, because I can't do it alone. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. Okay, Moses, I'll go. I'll go with you. God changed his mind as he bargained with him. I'm going to be with you, Moses, every step of the way. I'm going to go before you. Go back up to verse 2. He says, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite unto a land flowing with milk and honey. So he promised that the angel, which would go, would drive out those inhabitants. Now he says, okay, it's going to be me. I'll go with you. Verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. God, if you're not going, then I don't want to go, because I can't do this. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. It's good to know you're going with me, God, because now I know we can do it. My presence will go with you. And isn't that the promise that we've got? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, the Lord's told us. Moses needs that assurance that God's with us. But God has given us that assurance, the promise that in whatever we do, he's going with us. But Moses was insistent that God give him that promise. God, I'm not going unless you're with me. Christian, we need to have that same mindset. God, I'm not going to do it unless you're with me. I'm not going to go off into this venture unless you're a part of it. I'm not going to make that purchase unless you're a part of it. We need to be sure God's with us in the things that we're doing. You know, I've had this conversation with God myself a couple times. 21 years ago, there was a couple of fellas that thought we needed to start a church. And I wasn't so sure about that. But I finally got to the place, okay, God, I don't know if this is what you want or not, but I'll move forward. We'll see what you want to do, God, as long as you're with me in this. God, I'll do it if you'll go with me. And God has been with us. God's blessed. Doesn't mean everything's been done right and perfect all the time. I've had to correct some things and make some apologies and stuff along the way. But God has been with us every step of the way. There's been so many times, and I've had it more than once, this conversation. But the thing is, like Moses, God, these are your people. This is your church, God. I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. Maybe not always perfectly, but I'm moving in the right direction. God, go with me. We need to be sure in our individual lives, in our families, that God is with us in what we're doing. Some of you young people are getting to the point where you're making some serious decisions about your future. You be sure God's with you in those decisions. And if God's not there, you don't want to go out there. Whatever that direction is, whatever that decision is, you make sure God's in that thing. Because it'll be a mess if he's not. And it's not going to be easy, even when he is sometimes. But it'll be right. Amen? God, go with us. I'm going to read you some verses here. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 says, when thou goest out to the battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which thou brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy is 40 years after Exodus. God told Moses, I'll go with you. And you get to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses is about to die, Joshua's taken over the leadership of the nation of Israel. The same thing that God promised Moses, he's promising Joshua. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to drive out those inhabitants. Verse 31 of Deuteronomy, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is he that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You can rely upon God. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, God's there. And that's what I want in my life. I want God to be directing my steps. I want God to be a part of what's going on in my life. Here's one from Isaiah 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Back in 2007, when I was pinned underneath that car, my head was and chest were under the frame. I couldn't move my head. I could barely talk because the part of it came right across my lips here. The weight of that frame was crushing down on my chest. I couldn't hardly breathe. I thought I was going to die. And probably if I'd been there a whole lot longer, I probably would have, because every breath was difficult. And I thought, you know what? I never thought I'd die like this, God. But I knew he was there. I spent a little bit of time making some things right. But he's with me. He was with me when we moved here from Kansas. And watching, and I'm not going to go into the detail about it, but the steps along the way, the things that God did to prepare us coming here in September of 2000, not even knowing what I would be doing in February of 2002. At that point, just knowing that I'm going to be the maintenance man at the Christian Academy. That's what God wanted for us. Didn't expect that to be the direction I'd go. I thought we'd die in Kansas. I was expecting this. I went there committed to stay there. And it took about a year, I think, for God to finally say, okay, you're done here. got something else. And for a year and a half, worked at the academy, and then this move. God's with us. God's been with us every step of the way. I'm with thee. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I'll help thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll hold you up. I'll keep that car from crushing you because I'm not done with you yet. It hurt a little bit. Half of my face was paralyzed for a while. But it came out okay. Couldn't damage it much anyway. It was my head, so you know it's not going to hurt much. Upheld me. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I'll help thee. Man, what a concept that is. Come on, son. I got you. We're good. Let's go. I'll hold thy right hand. Don't be afraid. Jeremiah 1:19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So throughout all of Israel's history, God repeatedly affirmed his presence with them in what they were doing. In spite of their rebellion, in spite of the idolatrous practices that they'd got into, God says, you're still mine. I still love you. I still care about you. I'll give you some whoopings, but I'll bring you along. Then we get into the New Testament, Acts 18:10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. That's what God told Paul. I mean, this guy had been through it. He had been arrested. He'd been beaten. He had been whipped. He'd been stoned and left for dead. And he got up and went back into the city. God says, I'm with you. I got a lot of people in this city that'll take care of you. Sometimes to nurse you back to health. But you'll get through it, Paul. And when that old serpent in Acts chapter 28 jumped out of the fire and bit him, and they expected he should swell and die, and he didn't. And they got ready to worship him. He just, you know, shook the thing off and went on like nothing. He said, oh, no. It's him. He's with me, guiding me and protecting me. I'll go with thee. God's promise. Man, he's with us, folks. Be sure you're going in the direction he's going. There's one more point I want to make about this, though. Look at verse 17 here in chapter 33. He says, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I know you. I know your name, Janelle, Jeremiah, and Sawyer, and Ben, and God does too. I know your name. And then we read this, verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Okay, God, you said you're coming along. You said you're going to go before us. But I want to see your glory. You said I found grace in your sight. You got my name. Show me your glory, God. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, watch this, there's a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory pass by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. God says he's got a place by him for us. I think there's a couple places God has for us. That first place that God has for us is right here in his word. There's a place by me. There's a place where you can be close to me. There's a place where you can get to know me better. Where we can be together. It's right there in the pages of this book. A place by me. There's that place of prayer. Come boldly into the throne of grace that thou may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We need to go to the places that God has for us by him. You know what the other place is? Right here. God established the church. God called pastors and teachers and evangelists for the church. This is your place. It's where you ought to be. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's the place by him. God says, look, you want me to be with you? You know I'm going to be with you here. Because it's a place by me that I've prepared for you. Be here. Be a part of what God's doing. Hear from him, his voice, as he speaks to you. He's with you, and he's got a place for you where he wants you. And in that place, he's going to show you some things. In the place of prayer, in his word, and in his church. God will show us some things. If we're in the place by him that we need to be. Let's stand, please, for prayer.